Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 29th of December, recording at 6:52 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, what are the highlights here today on this penultimate day at the end of the year? First, the Asian stock markets were lower for the most part, a couple of holdout exceptions, modest gain in China, and Indonesia and the Philippines remained stalwart performers among the ASEAN sector, although still range-bound, as are so many markets. Now, the European stock markets have fared better here today, and this time they held on to their gains. They were helped modestly initially by an improvement on the longer-dated Italian bond auctions. Yields were down on what we saw a month ago, but nothing like the halving of the six-month bills that we saw yesterday, bill yields that we saw yesterday. But nobody expected them to be down a whole lot more. On the 10-year bond sales, these came through at just below 7%. In the Americas, we currently have gains across the boards, and although we have 3 hours to go before the close, Wall Street shows modest gains of 0.75%. That's taken the S&P 500 index up to 1,259 and change. Against this background, long-dated government bond prices, they're actually firmer in Europe, and also slightly firmer in the USA. Those are the futures prices. The U.S. dollar is a fraction easier in here today after its rather big day yesterday. But let's see. In the euro, we saw that down to 128.58 at the low. It's currently 129.40, which is unchanged. And sterling, though, which has been weak recently, is still a bit soft at 153.93. And the Australian dollar had a look at parity with the U.S., currently 101.24. Those are really the main stories in currencies. The greenback slipped a little bit against the yen, 77.71. And precious metals, they were walloped again today earlier on, but have recouped much of those losses. Actually, silver has more than recouped. It's up on the day as I speak. Silver dropped down to a low of 26.145. and is currently at $27.34. That's up over 10 cents on the day. Gold bullion fell down to 1522.65. It's currently 1544. Crude oil is up a fraction here, 99.66 on the WTI. Industrial metals, mostly a little bit firmer here today, and a number of the agricultural commodities are firmer today, including rough rice, which is having some strong gains today. But the soybeans, wheat, and corn have broken their consecutive day rises, which must have been 8 or 9 days. At the moment, they've broken that string with some modest declines. Okay, so what do we make of all this? Well, as far as the year is concerned, in stock markets, we're really seeing a limp to the end of the year. Wall Street is up on the year. In US dollar terms, we have the Dow up 5.91% as I speak. The NASDAQ is up a small, a bigger burn. The NASDAQ's actually down 1.67%, and the S&P is up a tiny fraction, 0.17%. If we look at the elsewhere around the globe, you've really got to go to the Asia Pacific to find gainers, and Indonesia and the Philippines, which I mentioned earlier on, are both up on the day or up on the year in US dollar terms as well. Everything else is pretty much to the downside, as you will be well aware. The standouts, and it's been a sort of a weeding out process here, but are the autonomies. Those are those quasi-autonomous, powerful, successful, leading multinational companies, a number of which are dividend aristocrats. So decent yielding shares, particularly where there's the likelihood of further dividend increases, they've done well. But for the most part, it's been a year of valuation contraction in stock markets. Valuation contraction is always tomorrow's jam, but in other words, it'll lead to stronger markets at some stage in the future. But this valuation contraction cycle quite possibly has a few more years to run. I'm thinking now primarily of the West, and one of the reasons for that is that following all historic evidence has shown that following a real credit crisis recession such as we've seen in 2008, that it really takes 5 to 7 years, really, to pull out of that. And since we were also in a valuation contraction cycle, maybe that drags on a little bit longer. But that's not all bad news by any means. And attractive valuations or improving valuations always favor the long-term investor. Now, the success of the autonomies, most, although not all of which are Western, but has the flip side of that has been an underperformance by many of the growth markets. I think that pendulum will probably turn back in their favor at some point in 2012. But that's likely to require a steadier performance by China, which will exert a leash effect of its own, and we do not yet see that, let alone in India, as well. So I think we're going to enter the new year pretty much with the same sort of leadership that we're in the process of ending this year, and that's the autonomies, including many dividend aristocrats, showing the best relative overall performances. Gold shares had looked like they might join that list on the basis of bullion's ongoing strength and their improving valuations relative to bullion, but it has not turned out that way, and they have fallen back to the lower side of their range and are very much in need of an upward dynamic to offset the prospect of Type 3 top formation completion. Owen has talked about the sector and reviewed the individual shares in here today in comments that in a comment of the day that's already been posted. Now, the commodity price reset, lower price reset, has been very much a feature. This year, at least for most of the year, commodities roared into 2011, but then began to peak one by one. And I think that there's scope for a bit more of that reset as we enter the first quarter of 2012 next week. Oil prices will remain crucial. I've written about them in here today. They have been pushed higher recently, I think mainly by the Strait of Hormuz tensions there with the U.S. And also Europe, talking about tightening sanctions on Iran because of their nuclear weapons development program. And Iran saying that if they do tighten sanctions, that it'll close the Straits of Hormuz. Well, that would be hard to do, although not impossible. It would really require, I think, the sinking of at least one major tanker to block those sea lanes, and that would be difficult to for Iran to achieve given the U.S. Navy's presence in the region. So I don't think that's a likely outcome, but it has firmed the it did firm the oil market over the last 2 weeks until we saw yesterday's setback. But the tension in the region may well keep oil prices firmer for a little longer. But with global demand being relatively soft, with OPEC having raised its official output figures in line with the breaches in the quotas that we had seen previously, they're, in other words, opening the door for additional supplies of oil if countries wish to wish to go above their target levels once again. There should be enough crude oil around, guess again, given the soft economy. But again, we know that oil is produced in many of the not quite so stable regions of the globe. So there are areas that where we could see production drop. For instance, Iran, if the sanctions, additional sanctions were successful against Iran, that would presumably reduce their oil production a little bit. It's not guaranteed, but it's certainly a possibility. And Iraq, now that the US troops have all but pulled out, that may not be as stable as we've seen in the past, and Iraq produces about 3 million barrels of oil a day and is capable of producing more given stability. But obviously, any sort of major Shia Sunni or Kurdish unrest, or unrest in terms of battles with the Kurds, would jeopardize that production. We cannot rule out the possibility of more Arab Spring type uprisings. While those may well, I think almost certainly are in the long-term best interests of the countries involved, it can be destabilizing, as we certainly saw with Libya. In Nigeria, we've seen a flare-up in religious tensions between the Muslim majority and the Christian minority. So there are a number of factors out there which could upset the balance somewhat. But let's hope that we see some muddle through there in terms of oil production, in which case the softer global economy should mean that prices trend some for crude oil trend somewhat lower, other things being equal, which as we know they aren't always. A spike in the price of crude oil, on the other hand, would be a major overall blow. The euro situation, I maintain that this has passed its nadir in terms of the ability to shock the markets overall. But it's left a region that still is experiencing recession. And very much needs growth, and there are a lot of uncertainties over the whole additional political and monetary reunification of the region, or unification, not reunification of the union. So the concerns remain the same. The U.S. is in the West is clearly doing somewhat better. Historically, election years tend to be more bullish than bearish. Expectations as we enter 2012, judging from what I've seen in the press and the financial channels, are extremely modest. My guess and my hope is that that's a contrary indicator. It suggests to me that investors have a lot of cash on the sidelines and that some of that cash will come back into the stock market. The U.S. dollar remains very steady as a safe haven, liquid market. As animal spirits return, I think the dollar would be susceptible to some further weakness, particularly against the currencies of the growth economies. But animal spirits are well shackled here at the moment. And that includes precious metals, where, again, I've often mentioned that if they were dominated by investors or if the market was mainly driven by investors, that it would also fluctuate with investor sentiments. And we're certainly seeing that. I think we've seen a scramble of among hedge funds and other large investors to reduce exposure to lock in profits before the year end. That has created another short-term oversold condition for gold and other precious metals. Gold has fallen back, earlier today, it was back down near its lows that we saw briefly in late September, following the very, very sharp decline. So it's not unreasonable that we could see it steady a little bit from there, but again, it's going to need to take out the highs that we saw 2 weeks or so ago, those little rally highs, I think on the 21st of December, not quite that long ago, to offset further tests of the underlying trading. And I think that's pretty much it. Here, in terms of the main factors, we will have a comment of the day and an audio tomorrow. Meanwhile, all the best to all of you.